Welcome to Chats for You. I'm James Walker, and this is the podcast where I try and talk to people that I like, and they sometimes let me. Lovely premise, right? I'm a fan of it, at least. So this is the 45th episode, and it features the return of James Acaster. But firstly, guys, let me just get this out of the way and say, hey, how you been? What on earth have you all been up to? How are the kids? And for anyone listening to this podcast for the first time and thinking, that's a bit forward, mate, you're acting like we're friends. I don't know you, back the hell up. Didn't think I had any kids. Oh my god. Let me explain. And also, chill out, bro, all fine. And you've not got any offspring. You might. I don't know who you are. But anyway, the last time I released a podcast was over a year and a half ago, and over that time, many people, upwards of like 10, that's many I'd say, have asked where I've been. And to answer that in a very cool and quick manner, just living my life, guys. No big deal. No drama. But to explain a bit more, basically I got a proper adult job after never having one before, and as any fellow adults among you out there can probably attest to, that can take up a fair bit of your time. And the job is lock people up in a room and watch them try to escape, Crystal Maze style, like an escape game is what it is. So your standard adult job situation. But now I'm back and I'm revamped. This podcast is revamped with the addition of some new music that you might have noticed there for the podcast by my friend Adam, who is in an absolutely brilliant band called The Spook School. And at any opportunity, I try and mention that I know them because I think it makes me seem cooler. And at one point during the chat with Acaster, I do bring them up. So yeah, that is proof of that. And because it's a year and a half later as well, just in case you were wondering, I am obviously, of course, a year and a half wiser as a person as well. So of course, I don't know why I even had to say that, but anyway. Enough of that, let's get on with this chat. Let's be in the here and now, guys. So this chat is with James Acaster. I spoke to him a couple of years ago, it was a lot of fun, and so glad he agreed to be on it again. We chat about a whole range of different topics, all of which I will keep a secret, so you have to listen to find out. Ha! I'm still a cheeky boy, guys, don't you worry about that, if you're worrying. Is he still cheeky? Uh-huh, yeah I am. Anyway, here is my chat with one of my favourite people around, great guy, James Acaster. Nice to be back.
So, firstly, I just want to double check that you're cool. I've come up with a title for this since it's the second time we're chatting.
Oh, yeah.
So, how about James Acaster 2, James Acasterer.
Yeah,
well,
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. That's very good.
Cool, so I'm going to start with a comment from my friend Stuart, who was also at the show tonight. Uh-huh. And I told him that I'd be interviewing you, and he said, we're both big fans, and he said, I'm going to think of what questions I'd like to ask him, but they're probably too serious for your poxy little pod.
What?
So that's what he said. So what
Stuart.
Do you think? Stuart, you're furious at Stuart,
that's
right?
So dismissive to you.
I know, completely. So, but because I don't want to disappoint any current listeners of mine, I want to give them the poxy little pod they're expecting, because I don't want to lose the fan base. So if at any point you feel that I'm straying into topics that are a little too serious, or maybe a bit too deep, just like stop me and just like let me know.
I'll tell you. So I'll shout poxy.
Yeah, just shout poxy. That's a good system. And speaking of like keeping your fan base and stuff like that, so on your Wikipedia, I don't know if you know this, but it says your genres on Wikipedia are low to mid-key whimsy, and then tomfoolery as well is the word.
Oh, tomfoolery, yeah.
So I just wondered, have you ever been worried you're about to do some high whimsy and had to rein it in?
Yeah, sometimes, it's a concern. I think low-key whimsy was something that started as a joke at the beginning, and then so it got put on my Wikipedia by someone, and then I don't know who has changed it to low to mid key, but I think that's a good indicator of the kind of people that I've got coming to see me. That they know that that's funny. Tomfoolery, I'm up for that as well. I think there's a bit of tomfoolery in there. But yeah, high key whimsy, you've got to be a bit careful of. So
yeah. How would you describe high whimsy? Like, what would that
sometimes
be?
Sometimes when I do kids' gigs, you know, yeah. you go a bit too energetic and, you know, kind of talk about pretty obvious whimsical stuff.
Yeah, I think I remember listening to something where you said you just like got them to take pieces of their like clothing off in their schools. Like,
well, I mean, that sounds horrendous.
Yeah, it does sound weird, doesn't it? It does sound weird.
I didn't get them to do that.
It does sound weird.
Yeah. They started doing that.
They started doing that. Okay, yeah.
They were out of my control. Yeah. So okay. The kids started doing that, and I tried to get them to stop.
Yeah, but at no point were you.
No.
No. Okay.
No,
cool.
I didn't instigate that.
Cool.
In any way, not deliberately.
Yeah,
by being on stage, I got them too overexcited, and then they started doing that.
Yeah.
They're not the first audience to react that way.
I apologise for my phrasing on that.
It's point. Okay, please.
I apologise.
Please be careful.
So, also, just wondering, we're, I don't know if you noticed this, but we're both called James. Like, that's the thing that we share in common. How do you react to meeting someone with the same name? Because I always say, like, cool. But it's not that cool, is it? It's not.
It's I think that's a nice reaction to say cool. I never like it when they kind of go, where it's like, you know, you introduce yourself and go, my name's James, and the next person goes, I'm James as well, should be easy to remember. And you go, what, that? Come on. This is going to happen so many times in our lives. It's going to be so exhausted if we say that every time. Because it's not, I don't think it's amazing, but I mean, you know, neither do you. Neither of us think it's amazing. James is such a common name. And so, like, I think saying cool is quite nice.
Yeah, cool's all right.
Going, oh, cool. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, this person is, you know... Just seeing that one thing we got in common and going, that's nice, so we got that in common. I think I don't react at all because I always meet the person who goes, that's bananas. And then I'm like, oh, God, get away from this person. Yeah,
so you're very used to meeting other Jameses and don't
Yeah, mind. I remember when I was a kid, like, I was so, probably like a lot of comics or maybe not, I was so unfunny as a child and I tried to be funny all the time, like in the most cringe-worthy ways. And like, I remember I met a kid recently who said, like, you know, what you call a nut on a wall, a walnut. And I mean, that would be funny in the jokes, in the hands of like an anti-comic, like Ed Axel. This kid absolutely skied it. It was awful. And I was like, oh, I used to be like, that was me. I remember speaking to someone once whose surname, it was called, it was my dad's friend, and he was called like Rob James, and he was talking, and I didn't even listen to what he was talking about, because I'd already thought of this amazing line. And so like he paused and I went, listen, you got a cool surname, but what you're saying is stupid. And like everyone just looked at me like, what is that? And as soon as I said it, I was like, well, that's not funny, the fact that he's got the same surname as my first name. And it's so embarrassing. Just adults and me as a kid.
So let's chat a bit about We the Jury.
Oh yeah.
You've written a TV show for the BBC called We the Jury. Is it still quite cool to hear that about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. It's still kind of never anything you achieve that you wanted to achieve doesn't feel like it's you when you hear it back anyway. So you just kind of go, oh, did I? Yeah, some guy did that. Good for him. So yeah. But yeah, no, it's cool.
And you realise it's yourself.
Yeah, you realise it's yourself. Oh, great. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I loved it so much. I loved the experience of writing it. I did it with a production company who I really got on with and really clicked with. And so writing it and sending it to them and getting feedback was really fun. Yeah. And wasn't like feeling like you were trying to translate anything into a second language. And you know, they got it and they were giving feedback that was constructive. And then... the people, to be honest, everyone, every step of the way, just got it. And it was nice of everyone, you know, the BBC people who work with the BBC really got it and were on board with it and didn't like try and block anything. Sometimes you know, you fear that channels are going to get in the way and go like, oh, we don't get that, it's a bit weird, you can't do it. And they were just fully on board with it all. I felt so lucky with the cast. I just love all the people who were in it so much. And so the whole thing, it's more that almost the thing that you can't believe is that you got to do it the way you wanted to do it. Because like, hearing stuff like you did a sitcom for the BBC is cool, but this, you know, as you get more jaded each year, you know that as a sentence doesn't necessarily mean you had a good time.
Right.
But knowing that you did have a good time and it went really well is the thing that makes me go, oh, wow. Like, I filmed a sitcom and I wrote it and enjoyed writing it. I filmed it and enjoyed filming it.
Yeah.
and I watched it and enjoyed watching it. So like all that, having all that and going, oh, at no point did I kind of go, oh, this is shit. You know, which is like, you know, what I feel about a lot about. But so like, it's really nice to have that thing. Yeah, going, oh, I'm really proud of this.
And you're also in it. There's also like a Hitchcockian cameo.
Yes.
So see, it's where I think I can't quite remember because I wasn't able to watch it again.
Yeah.
But you're like putting a jacket on or something. Are you taking the jacket off? There's something like that.
Yeah.
Where you're going through the entrance. There's that bit. Yeah. Did you practice that a lot of times? The removal of jacket and putting it back on.
Yeah, I did. Well, I had a. I wore that jacket for an entire show,
yeah.
One of my solo shows. So I basically had a whole Edinburgh, all of New Zealand Comedy Festival, yeah. Putting that jacket on and off, whole tour putting it on and off.
And so the show was just like a side project.
It was mainly training for the jacket scene in this. So when I got to do that scene, I was like, okay, this is it now. don't blow it on this take. And got it first time in the can, delighted. Yeah. Yeah. So some people have figured out who that character is. Who have seen my Edinburgh shows in the past,
and know
who I'm playing, but who knows if we'll ever get to find out.
Is it Pat?
It is Pat. It's Pat Springley.
Yeah, there we go. And also, just personally for me, I've never described something as Hitchcockian before.
Oh yes,
was it impressive?
It was very impressive. A lot of people know it's impressive. So all I've got from everyone is nice Hitchcockian cameo there.
They've even said Hitchcockian.
Yeah, everyone says it. Everyone says Hitchcockian. One person said Tarantino, and I was like, not really.
Stan Lee.
Tarantino had a big Stan Lee. That would be a good one. Although obviously Hitchcock came first, but like, so you would like to use Hitchcockian. The person who said Tarantino, I kind of understood, he's put himself in his own films, but he doesn't put himself in all of them, and when he is in them, he has a proper speaking role.
The way he
does stuff, he doesn't just like pop up in the background.
And are you planning to put your jacket on and take it off in any future projects as well?
I hope so, but we're still waiting to see. So fingers crossed I'll get to put that jacket on again.
Is there like no update on like what's happening with you earlier?
There is, but I can't talk about it.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to discuss it, but like there's some form of progress.
Yeah, okay. So also what about all that Trump business, eh? What are we gonna do about that?
It's great fun, isn't it? What am I gonna do?
Yeah.
I know it's kind of falling at my feet a little bit, and I am trying to figure out how to sort it out, but I think I look too much like a young version of him to really step in and organise anything. I could pretend that I'm... I can't even pretend I'm him from the past warning him not to do stuff, because how would I know?
Yeah.
He could do it to me.
That's true.
But... yeah, who knows, man? I mean, obviously, it's... I mean,
I'm worrying that this topic might be a bit too serious for me as well.
Are you trying to get me to say the thing? Thing is, though, obviously, it's the week that it's happened, so I'm delighted to talk about it. So it doesn't even...
Fair play.
All I've been talking about in the car, my tour manager Paul and I have just been talking about it a lot. And because what it's done, weirdly, is it's brought up... So this show has kind of changed a little bit.
I came to The Fringe as well, so I know.
You came to the first ever show on The Fringe, didn't you?
Yeah, how did you know that?
I saw you in the audience.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you were near the front. you came on night one, so it's changed a lot since you've seen it anyway, because it changed during Edinburgh, and it's changed on tour. Yeah. But since he became president, the audience reaction to stuff has changed, because it almost feels weird talking about Brexit when... this second Brexit has happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, so kind of doing a line that refers to Brexit without mentioning Brexit, people are confused as to whether you're talking about Brexit or Trump.
Right, yeah.
Because that's what's just happened.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how on Twitter all the things are the same as when we had Brexit. So all the people going like, this has happened, this hate crime has happened, and everyone's reporting on stuff, whereas we... And we were doing that with Brexit as well. Just straight away going, fuck, guys, this is happening now.
Yeah.
And then it kind of makes you think and go, oh, why are we not doing that as much now? Because actually, when I talk to people, that stuff is still happening. And we're not reporting it as much on Twitter, because we've all kind of gone, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing this other thing. But, it's crazy. And it's made me think a lot about comedy as well, weirdly. Because, especially the stuff about, you know, people getting offended and all that, and that's become a... I think people go on about how just like pop culture doesn't really affect things properly, and you know, or if you get offended at comedy it's stupid and blah blah blah, and you go, yeah, but I feel like we've let a lot of things slide, and now this has been able to get through
the
door.
Right, yeah.
And like, and it feels I watched a show the other day where the comic said before it, if you've ever been offended by anything, you might want to leave now. And the comic, as always, was like a, you know, a white guy in his 40s.
Yeah.
Because they're the people who say that.
Yeah.
Well, and he kind of like, yeah, but well, I'm not going to, I mean, I don't care. It's not, I'm not laughing because you've offended me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not laughing because it's pretty basic what you just said. I've heard it a million times. It doesn't surprise me. But also, like, I saw someone getting, a comic I really respect, but who hasn't, I mean, if I just describe him, everyone will guess who I mean. He likes comedy. But like, he's a world-renowned comic who everyone loves, but he has a massive blind spot and often goes and is misogynistic a lot of the time. And you go, oh, that's a shame that you've done that. And occasionally starts being racist recently. And just like, what is going on? And he was saying, like, people go to comedy clubs to have their ideas challenged. That's what they're supposed to do. And I'm challenging their ideas. Going, no, you're not, because you're doing a routine that actually the majority of people agree with you with because it's ignorant. So you're not being offensive now. They seem to think that challenging people's ideas is saying stuff that isn't PC, which is not challenging their ideas, because that's old.
Mm.
Years and years ago, that was fine what you said, and still people want to kind of go along with that now because it's easier. So you're not challenging anyone, and Trump hasn't challenged anyone, and neither has Farage, and that's why they've done well, because you don't challenge people and then they all want to go, okay, I'll just do that then. Mm. No matter how many blunders you make, I'll do it. And actually challenging people and challenging people's ideas is people like Bridget Christie. But the people who think they're offensive and edgy will slag off people like Bridget because they're like, oh, feminazi, you know, all this, you know, feminism and libtards and all this. And you go, well, Bridget Christie gets proper death threats, which you don't, because she's challenging ideas and you're not.
Mm.
And that's the way it is. And if you want to talk about comedy challenging people's ideas, she's doing it. And you have no idea what challenging people's ideas are. So all you get is maybe a tweet after the show going, found that a bit offensive. And then you go, what the fuck? Because you're not used to anyone ever challenging you. Because you don't like your ideas being challenged. You know, it's insane. And it's just got to that point now where it's like, oh yeah, all these people who are supporting Trump are like, oh, people don't like to be challenged. But like, you are the ones
who are
not enjoying being challenged. This is the most hypocritical. But yeah, and I was kind of like, I definitely shifted this week because of it, that from being like quite even-handed with it in a way to being like, no, do you know what, you were wrong,
right?
And because I used to be a bit like, oh yeah, maybe sometimes we're a bit hypocritical and you know, liberals just want to hear what they want to hear and we don't want to be challenged, we're in our own echo chamber on Twitter and we're being reassured by people, but actually we're not, because a lot of, especially like liberals these days, is about challenging each other and going, well, this is what you think about something. Like recently, someone told me that as a comedian called Sophie Hagen was doing, she's got gender neutral toilets at her gigs for all of her shows. And when I heard about that, I thought, because I didn't know that much about them, that meant unisex toilets. And I thought, oh, I don't know if that's all right, because surely some women won't be okay with men being in the toilets. And then like I talked to someone about it who knew more about it than me. And they said, well, it doesn't mean that. All it means is that it doesn't say men and women on the toilets. It will say like something like mostly standing, mostly sitting. And that's what it will be. And most people won't even realise it. It's just for the people who don't identify as either to feel not confused and feel quite accepted in that environment. And then the amount that I enjoyed having what I thought challenged and changed and my mind changed for the better.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed having my world expanded a bit and didn't mind being wrong to begin with and having to admit that, oh, okay, I was wrong because I didn't know anything and I'm changing it. And the fact that no one, this is not a thing that, you know, I love having my ideas challenged, but not when it's by someone who's talking about regressive, like, stuff that will just bring us back and move forwards.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's what I think about Trump.
No, my friends are in a band called The Spook School, and they have the same thing with like the gender neutral toilets, like the gigs and stuff like that. Cool. So let's do a bit of a show and tell.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna give you an object.
Great.
And I just want you to tell me why I've handed you it.
Oh, okay.
And what its relation is, if you have any ideas.
Relation to me.
Relation to us.
Me and you.
Yeah.
You and I. Oh, this is nice. This is a sheep. Okay, I think last time you interviewed me, you had this with you.
No, that's not the case.
That wasn't the case.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
So it's a little toy sheep.
It's a little toy sheep.
I'll give him a few more seconds to work it out.
This is something about me and you.
Yeah.
Excuse me, are you? shit.
Oh, yeah, we're struggling.
But it's starting to... I don't know why this feels like it rings a bell. Did we talk about this last time you spoke to me?
No, no.
We didn't.
I'll say that I did not know that thing exists and did not have it in my possession the last time we spoke.
Oh, okay. I don't know. But this is ringing... It is honestly making me think of something.
If I tell you that you bought that for me in a way...
You gave to Sweet Home Lahnstein and Inga. Yeah. We sent this to you in the post. Yeah. That's why I've seen that before. So I had to wrap it up and send it to you. Yeah. 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 That's what it is. That was Stuart. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Good to see it again.
Yeah.
What a horrible sheep as well.
So what about that did you think would... how would I enjoy that? Like, in what way?
Well,
because you did pick it specifically for me, right?
So basically we did an online web series called Sweet Home Lahnstein and Ringo, where we went to Lahnstein in Germany and we needed people to give us money so we could get to Germany. Did a Kickstarter campaign, and if people gave a certain amount of money, we'd give them some presents and send it to them, like Christmas presents, I think it was at the time, but then it was too late for Christmas anyway by the time they got it. But
I got my same for Christmas.
Oh great, that's good. Yeah. So me and Stuart basically had to buy stuff, and we just kind of like tried to just listen to our hearts and buy the things that jumped out at us. And this was one of the things that we basically thought anything that we would enjoy, our fans may enjoy, or anyone that would give something to us would enjoy. So like, yeah, we decided that if we would like that, you might like it.
Yeah. Fair play. Best gift I got. Also, I just wonder, like, from that trip, what was like the most interesting thing that you took away from like the trip to
Lahnstein? Tons of stuff, really. So I mean, one was to just learning how to make that show, and learning how to do. And we learned a lot. We did the first. It's a web series that we've just done off our own back, and a few people have watched. And the first series that we did of it was in Kettering, and we learned a lot about just how to basically film it and just deal with members of the public. When we were interviewing them and staying in character ourselves and stuff. And the second time when we went to Lahnstein, because we bought a bunch of people, we expanded the cast a bit and we had to improvise together, we learned how to basically improvise the storyline as we were going along and learn how to make that show, because our initial plan for the storyline fell through immediately and we had to improvise while we were
right,
there.
Right, okay.
And so we learned that. And then also, it was just... one of the things I take away about German people is how ready they are to be part of the joke and to get in on the joke immediately when you're filming something like that. When we filmed it in England, in Kettering, everyone was very guarded, thought we were going to take the piss out of them. It was very difficult to talk to people. In Germany, everyone just kind of goes full on, like, just doing the most eccentric version of themselves, doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's very happy to be part of the joke, can easily make fun of me as well in return. And it was like, it was easier for that. And I learned that I quite like a blood sausage with apple and potatoes quite a lot, which is known over there as an old man's meal.
Oh, is it?
But like,
what sort of age do you have to start eating that?
Probably
by law. Probably by law, right?
Probably by law, 55. When I ordered it, they were very confused. I had it recommended to me by a guy called Carl Kramer, who is about that age. And he said he should go and get that at this pub, so I got it and they were like very confused, and at the end they said to me, why did you order that? I said, Carl Kramer told me to, and they started laughing, so they all knew Carl. Okay. and they just like, like, it's an old man's dish over here. I couldn't figure out why you were eating it. But yeah, I learned a lot about Lahnstein, and we were there for a week, and it was such a great week, and everyone who did it, the team that we had doing it. Again, it's another thing where it's like, yeah, I was so delighted with it, so happy with it.
Cool. Right now we're probably going to take an advertisement break in terms of, is there any items that you'd like to promote? Because I don't have an official sponsor. It'd be good for me to get one. So I think like just saying a bunch of things
yeah.
and then one of them might stick.
Sure.
Like, say I like a lot of things. Like, for example, yeah. right now, I've been digging Oreos a lot lately.
Yeah.
So maybe they might listen to this and then sponsor me.
That's quite good.
Definitely. So have you yeah. got anything you...
Well, because you said that, all I can think is that recently I had a Oreo ice cream and I quite liked it.
Yeah.
iPods.
iPods, yeah.
Most of my time is spent making playlists on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned that. Corduroy.
Oh.
Although I'm thinking about changing that at the minute. I'm thinking about maybe it's time to leave the corduroy behind. Maybe move on to jeans.
Oh.
Mention jeans there.
Just mention.
Yeah, not
get
blue.
Get a full wardrobe. Get
not
full wardrobe.
Jeans that are blue.
You might get sent free ones in there.
And there's a lot of places I like to eat. I like to... I've got a list on my phone of all the places I like to eat because I've made it for whenever we're going to go out, me and my girlfriend go out to eat. I just go like, here's, right.
Yeah.
I look down the list because it's much easier.
I'm happy for you to get that if you want to.
Yeah, yeah. I can just get, I mean, we're always in the edit. We can,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of lists on my phone of things that I like because sometimes you forget what you like.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, probably go to social eating house. And is it all in London?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Social Eating House, Little Social, Friends of Flavour, Chat Fu Yu, Brasserie's Adele, Shotgun, Chapters All Day Dining, Polpo, Running House
list.
Cafe, Gaucho, Hawksmoor, Spuntino, Clove Club, Berber and Q, Gunpowder, Ceviche, The Shed, Yalla Yalla, Bone Daddies, Burger and Lobster, C&R, Chicken Liquor, Princhy, Frankamanka, Texas Joe's Slow Cooked Meats, Tokyo Diner, and Tonkotsu.
So whenever you want to decide where to eat, you read them all aloud?
Yeah, I read this all out loud.
Every time you decide to go eat somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, some of them might sponsor the podcast now or get in touch with you about free food. So
yeah.
That has been very helpful, so thank you very much.
I'm glad.
So what are we going to do about global warming?
Oh, God, man. I mean, you know, we just got to... Well, first of all, we've got to all believe in it. Which now not everyone does. Leader of the free world doesn't, so we'll fucked. It's weird because I that's one of the things that I feel bad about myself with, because I think that there was a patch where I cared about it so much, and I think maybe just like I cared about it so much, and so I changed my behaviours and they've stuck, but it, as a result it's also this was stuff that I just do now.
Yeah.
So I don't think about it, and then I feel bad for not thinking about it more and pushing myself more on it. So, you know, probably just move further away from the sun.
Mm. Yeah.
That'd be a start.
Yep, how would you go about that?
If we all just push in the same direction, there's enough of us to... If we all run in the same direction,
yeah.
The Earth will spin.
Uh-huh. How do we coordinate that? Facebook?
Yeah, so everyone's online now. Everyone's connected online. So you just...
That's true.
You just say... noon on Sunday, everyone run in this direction.
Yeah. And say the time zone as well.
Yeah.
You've got to say the time zone.
Oh, yeah,
you'd
have to change it for each individual place.
Yeah.
I think that would be the best way to go about it.
Yeah, that'd definitely be
best.
Am I keeping you too long? I don't want to be. Is that alright?
I'm alright. The stand people. Just Paul, my lovely tour manager. Just come and get a drink, but you know. Obviously, because he's an authority figure, James instantly thought he was in trouble and had to end the interview. Yeah, because Paul's looming over.
Yeah, he's doing a big, yeah, big loom there.
Yeah.
Authoritative loom. So let's chat a bit about Luna Dot Raids the Bee Pigeon.
Oh.
That's 10 songs from folk bands you used to know.
Yeah.
And it's an album that you've produced. Have you been in the producing hot seat before?
No, well, not really. When I was in a band before I did stand-up, we recorded an album and I was involved in producing it in that sense, because it was our music. But never before, when it's not been my song, like I didn't write any of those songs that we did in this Luna Dot project. So, I've never had it before when I've got no kind of... Because when it's your songs, you have a personal attachment to them, and so you kind of don't view it subjectively at all. It's all just like, I love every single thing in this song, I don't want to lose any of it, and you're trying to capture the essence of all of it and you're obsessing with it. Whereas when it's not your song, you just go, this is the good bit, we're focusing on that bit.
You go,
bring the vocals to the forefront, because that other stuff is fine. But so like I never had that experience before, which was quite nice. It's like editing like if you were editing someone else's podcast or sitcom or whatever, mm-hmm. it's not yours, you can just go, well, that's not funny, so I'm getting that down. And so it's quite good to kind of go, this is what I like about these people's songs, and so this is what I'm going to focus on.
And what's like a popular song you just like to edit the hell out of and take out all the bad bits?
Oh man, sometimes there's so many, isn't there? There's a I was actually a lot in the car. We've been listening to a lot of music, and I've been saying that I really hate it when bands do a poem or something. I've bought an album recently by a band called The Hotelier, which are a good band, like, you know, one of the few emo bands that I still like. But like their new album starts with him just doing a spoken word poem on his own, really earnestly. And I was like, if I could edit this, I would make it so that you are not doing that right now. This is not you doing a poem, you know. So probably that. But popular songs, I don't know. I'd probably change a lot of. I'd probably get all the Beatles solo projects and put them together, and so they were a new band. And they could all, I would rotate them if they were all still alive. I'd go, right, I'd give John Paul songs,
yeah,
I'd give George John songs, and just do it like that in a certain triangle, I guess, because, you know, no one's going to edit Thomas the Tank Engine. Ringo's got to stay at home. But like they can all just like look at each other's songs and go, okay, here's what I'm going to change about this, and just pass it around the circle, and then have these new songs that are like, ah, it's the Beatles again. I'll do that.
Yeah, we'll try and arrange that. I don't think that's a thing.
Probably not gonna, just down to Ringo and Paul now.
Probably not going to manage it. Yeah. Ringo's not even allowed to.
No, he can't write to Ringo to ask him to do it, because he doesn't want fan mail anymore. Yeah. So it's not going to happen. Peace and love.
In terms of the tour, which you're doing, Reset, so you've said that this is the last show in a trilogy of shows.
Yeah.
So all of which are going to be filmed and released at some point. Is that still the plan?
That's the plan.
Okay, cool. Are you sad that the trilogy is coming to an end, or is it nice to be able to start afresh?
It's weird, because at the minute it doesn't feel like it's coming to an end, because I think I'm gonna film them probably like this time next year.
Yeah.
I've got another. So one of the main things I'm gonna be doing in the intervening year is just touring all three shows. So I'm gonna be going around and doing all three of them again.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to be changing them as well, because I still feel like there's bits in every show that I think that could be better and I could change it. So I still feel like I'm not done with them yet. But maybe when I am done with them, it'll be. But I reckon every time with this kind of stuff, when you finish something, you're glad to be moving on to the next thing anyway. Yeah. I've definitely. I think the only show I've not felt. So when I did my second show, which was called Prompt, when I moved on to the next show after that, I was a bit like, oh, I don't really want to be. Leaving this.
Right, okay.
Because that was the only show, even though it's not, you know, I don't think it's necessarily my best show, but it was the one where, at the time, when I moved on from it, I felt like I wouldn't change anything about that show. Like, I was happy with everything in it.
Mm.
Whereas all my other shows, I've always been, when I've moved on from it, I've been quite relieved to move on, because I'm like, good, I don't have to do that bit again, because that bit is rubbish.
Right.
And so now returning to these three shows is going to be quite. Good, because, like, you know, you go, okay, that bit that I don't like, I'll improve that and make it better. And then if I achieve what I probably won't achieve it, but like if I at the end of it I'm like, there's nothing I'd change about those three shows, I will probably feel sad to move on from them. But as long as I manage to capture them when I film them, I'll be happy.
And like, so when, like, let's say for example you were doing like the second show of the trilogy or something like that, did you realise at that time it would be like a trilogy, or like was it like a conscious thing where you thought I'll do this, or was it just like when you finished the last show you were like, oh, that seems like a trilogy now, or was it always a kind of
it wasn't. So the first show of it wasn't definitely, you know, it was just like I just wanted to do a show where I pretended to be an undercover cop for the show, I didn't really have, there was no idea then. And then the next year I kind of was going to take a completely different approach. So I started just, you know, writing material and not thinking about anything and not trying to make it like that. And I had a bit of material about wanting to do jury duty, and it was the same as the previous year when I did the undercover cop thing. I had I just wrote a bunch of stuff, and I had a bit of material about being an undercover cop or wanting to be an undercover cop that didn't work. And I just thought, instead of going, I'll get rid of that, I thought, I'll make that the whole show. Because I was like, I want to speak about being an undercover cop, and what if I took all the routines I've got now and put them in the context of being an undercover cop instead, so I get to talk about that. And for me, it's just that would be a fun show. So then the next year, I wrote a bunch of stuff. and this jury duty routine wasn't working, about how I always want to do jury duty. And so I thought, I'll just do the same, because I did that with last year, and it was fun, and it'll be fun to do that again.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then just kind of thought, when I was having to name the show, the last one was called Recognize, and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to call this one Represent, because it's a similar, like, gangster kind of name, but also, it, you know, representing people in court is a thing, so it just goes with the show.
Yeah,
so that was it, really. And then, like, I think it was after that, this year, a week after Edinburgh, I was on holiday, and just thought I'd like to do a show about going into witness protection, and that show would be about fresh starts, and then I thought it'd be called Reset. So I was like, well, that's a trilogy. It was only at the last minute.
Okay, cool.
It was just like after I'd done two shows and then thought of a third one, but then as soon as I thought that, I thought, and that'll be the last one. Like, so as soon as I came up with the idea of doing the trilogy, I thought, and that's it. You don't carry on doing this all the time now. It's happened naturally.
Yeah.
And so just leave it. And I cringe at even saying, you kind of have to say trilogy, because I'm now touring them.
Yeah.
And so to let people know it's not the same show every night, you've got to call it that so that they know that. But I cringe at the very thing of, like, me saying I've written a trilogy, like I've done a thing, but like, yeah, it just helps make it clear to people.
Yeah, yeah.
What it is.
And then tonight during the show, you had someone who'd seen the show before,
yes,
ask for you to do a bit of material that did not exist, that you've never done. Is that common?
Yeah, I think if you're confident enough to shout out during the show, you probably haven't just done your research. I mean, anyone who kind of like knows their stuff actually wouldn't shout that out. So like, yeah. And it was weird because obviously he was misremembering a bit that not only did I do last time he saw me, but I'd already done this time as well. So he'd seen it twice and just gone, do that bit again. And I've done that bit, and it's not that bit. It's not what you're talking about, yeah. You know. And he completely misremembered it. So yeah, he's quite a special guy, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Best friends? New best friend?
New best friend, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, pen pal at least.
This is a nice thing that I'm going to say now.
Oh, that's great.
You excited for this?
I'm very excited.
Cool. So basically, when I came to see the show at the start of the Fringe,
yep.
I wanted to see it later on as well, just to see how it turned out during the Fringe. But then you sold out so quickly, and I was like, oh, that's nice. That's nice. I'm proud of my...
It's pretty great, wasn't
it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was pretty chuffed with that.
Yeah.
But I'm sad for you. I suspect...
I still got seats tonight.
I thought he probably wants to see it again.
So now I'm going to do a... I don't know if you remember, but I had a trademark question last time.
Yeah.
I don't remember this. But because you've already answered it, I'm going to revamp it a bit.
Okay.
So this is just the question that I think, because a lot of interviewers need a lot of talent in that. Mm-hmm. I just think you need one killer question. That's all you really need. So last time I asked you, the trademark question was, what do you like? That was a trademark question. So I've revamped it for this time. What do you like now?
That's good. Up to
added
date.
A bit, innit?
Yeah.
I can tell you that your answers last time were puddings and the countryside.
I mean, that's still true. I still stand by that. Puddings, the countryside, and playlists that I've made.
Yeah.
I think that's... We'll add that in now as well.
Yeah.
I just hope my girlfriend never hears this. The question was not, what do you love? Remember that.
So what do you like... what type of playlist is it like?
I get upset. So, like... I make playlists when I'm on my own at night. I
don't need to specify a time.
But it's mainly at night. Basically, if I've got to go to bed,
so we have to do that, don't we?
Yeah. In order to get to sleep, if I watch Netflix and whatever, which I love watching Netflix, but I know I'm not going to get to sleep. I'm just going to stay up. But I'll get to sleep if I make a playlist, because I'll get into it, but also I will listen to songs and fall asleep. But what has happened over the years is that I've got gradually obsessed with two playlists in particular.
Right.
So that one is my favourite band, a band called Y, who love them, and I got all their stuff, and so I got obsessed with making the perfect Y playlist. I don't know why it was 25 songs. I was like, it has to be 25 songs. It's gonna be that long. And I'm going to, you know, make it so it flows. It has to be all my favourite songs, and it flows really well. And this year completed that task, and pleased as punch with it. And then another one was just putting all my actual favourite songs on, so by loads of different bands, onto a playlist that also flowed nicely as one. And I didn't know how many that was going to be. I settled on 50. The playlist is 51, but it's still 50 because like, the intro is just a noisy... load of noise that segues into the first song. So I don't count the intro.
Because you need that. You need a lot of noise.
You need something that's just like, at the start, isn't like straight into playing your main card. You need an intro... And then you into the playlist.
Is that intro just called A Lot of Noise? Just like,
if only. It's called. I think it's called Scream. It's by Polar Bear. Jazz band. It's just all like they're making noise, and then it segues into. I can even tell you. It segues into Wait for a Moment.
How much of the playlist can you do?
I could probably. That is quite the. I could probably. I bet because of how. It'll be quite revealing how much I've poured over it.
Would I be able to like look at the playlist and you can see how many you can do?
Have I got it on me? I think it might be in the flat. It's in the flat.
We can't edit this, remember? So
yeah. I'll try and do it. But like, we'll see. The thing is with this, if I complete it, it's sadder.
Right.
So like, it's worse if I complete this. But because this is why I'm hesitating, so I fear that I will be able to do it. Scream by Polar Bear, intro. Into Wait for a Moment by Wolfpack. Into Nobody Wants to Be Here, Nobody Wants to Leave by The Twilight Sad. Or it's No One Wants to Be Here, No One Wants to Leave coming, but I think it's Nobody. Into From a Silver File by Gene Clark. Into Final Day by... it's going to take so long. Final Day by Young Marble Giants. Into...
I can speed it up.
Yeah.
Actually.
The New Car by Josiah Wolf. Rockefeller Center 1932 by Dawn of the Replicants. Your Daddy is a Little Girl by BC Camplight. Against Me by Y. Duet by Diane Coffey. Baby by Donnie and Joe. Donnie and Joe Emerson, is it? Emerson, yeah, it is. Wouldn't Change a Thing by Johnny Bristol. Ida. The band is called Ida, and the song is called... If I can't remember this song, I'm out. But, shit. I mean, I know what the song is, but I can't remember what it's called.
It's a valiant effort.
Yeah,
valiant.
I did quite well.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, it's going to be annoying. It's the only Ida song that everyone likes, so, you know.
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
If anyone could tweet in and tell me what that is.
Yeah.
But, it's really slow. there's that.
Yeah,
Ida.
You did very well there. I did quite well.
And then
it was getting to the point where, like, should I stop them? Because it's going to take quite a while.
It's going to take so long.
And I wasn't sure.
But it's a really great playlist. And, you know, even if I listen to all of them, some of them are tracks that are very rare and that are not online that I got off other people. It's been quite a long project that I finally got to the end of.
In a few days, I think I'm going to be chatting to your friend Ed Gamble.
He is my friend.
Is there anything you've always wanted to ask him but would... feel it would be better coming through the vessel of a bald Scottish man?
Yes, loads of things. So,
yeah, cool.
What is your favourite pudding?
Yeah, cool. I'll ask him that
because he likes that kind of stuff as well. What is your favourite pudding that a fellow comedian has made for you?
Oh yeah.
as well.
Have you made him a pudding?
Just don't tell him I said that.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Just ask him it out of nowhere and see.
Yeah.
See what he says. What is his favourite song by Clutch? One of his favourite bands.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Have you ever had any accidents while jogging?
Right.
He's into jogging a lot.
I mean, it's getting to the stage where I won't have to write my own questions.
Yeah, it's quite good, really, isn't it? And which comedian has been the best house guest when they've had to stay for a month after coming out of a relationship?
Right, okay. So just ask them out of the blue.
Just ask him those questions and see what he says. Yeah.
They're also pretty loaded.
Yeah, quite loaded. Just ask him the two that would start with which comedian. Just ask him those ones. And then the so ask him those two, and then ask him who is your favourite comedian. those three questions in that order.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I think that's us nearly wrapping up now. Just anything you'd like to add or get off your chest at the end of this chat, really?
It's been a pleasure to do this podcast twice.
Yeah. You thinking a third time might be on the cards at some point?
Well, we've already discussed trilogies are my thing, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like it will happen accidentally anyway. So yeah. I look forward to doing the third one.
Cool.
The first one with you is Glasgow. This is Edinburgh. I would like to do the third one in Aberdeen, please.
Okay, so I'll travel up to Aberdeen.
My request. Yeah.
So I'm from Edinburgh, so I was like, this one's local for me, this one's...
Sure.
Close. So I travelled for Glasgow.
Yes.
I'm travelling even more for Aberdeen.
Yeah, just, you know, if you want to get that trilogy. The third in the trilogy is always the biggest effort.
That's true.
It's always the final push one. If you want to make it significant, so you know.
And even though it didn't really work throughout the chat, could you just describe this podcast as poxy?
This podcast is so poxy.
So that was my chat with James Acaster. Thanks again to James for joining me on the podcast. And looking forward to our third chat, which I will obviously title James Acaster with a Vengeance. And the fourth one will be James Acaster 4.0? Is that what it was? I can't remember what the fourth Die Hard was called. It was about computers, so it might have been... Well, there was a hacker guy, I think. Then a really weird bit, like when, like, Bruce Willis is up against a jet, where there's, like, on, like, a motorway. Sorry, I shouldn't really be using this time to try and remind myself of the names of Die Hard films. But I have. That's what I've done. And the fifth one would be called A Good Day to James Acaster, which is also a good title. So yeah, thanks James, and some info on where you can keep up to date with what he's up to. So he's on Twitter, at James Acaster. You can go on YouTube and search for his The Sweet Home series, so that's Kettering and Landsteineringa. Check out his website for gigs, and just Google his name, then there'll be the website. And then there's the URL with the slash gigs in it, so that's the one you need to click. The album we spoke about, Luna.Rage the Bee Pigeon, that's on Bandcamp. And there's a link to it via his Twitter as well, I believe. That is about it for that. Now to the outro that I'm going to record now. And again, for those of you who have never listened, you'll be able to tell by now, it's a very slick affair. It's properly professional and that, innit? Well slick. Thanks for listening to this. If you want to keep up to date with the podcast and what's happening, you can follow it at Chats4U on Twitter. I'm on there as well, so at James Walker Guy. And if you did enjoy listening, it'd be great if you could leave a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store. But nothing less than glowing, just a glowing one. That'd be great. And if you could tell people about the podcast, that'd be good as well. As I mentioned in the chat, I'm not getting any money to do this. Losing money even. So if people could know about the podcast a bit more, that'd be great. If you enjoyed it, let me know. I think a good time to bring it up would be, because Christmas is coming up, guys. I don't know if you're aware of that. It would be if, like, there's like an awkward family silence during like Christmas dinner or something. You're not quite sure you don't know what to say. You could say, "Hey, family." That's probably how you address everyone in your family. "Hello, family. I've heard this podcast lately. You might like it. Let's all listen." And instead of like watching Doctor Who, you could all just listen to my podcast while you have your Christmas dinner. That's what you could do. So all of that, what I just said, thanks for listening. See you next time. Oh, that sounds good. That's like a professional sign-off. Guys, see you next time. Oh yeah, mate. Keeping that in. Bye.